start. Push start. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Push Start Podcast. My name is Matt Johnson, one of your three hosts, alongside...
It's your boy, C-Ham, a.k.a. The Nerd, a.k.a. the World Heavyweight Champion of Live Broadcasting, with my little guy. What's up, GHU?
And as always, always keeping it triple S stylish, your main man, Caddy, shooting up the block.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony and Ivory.
You do have some... My microphone.
Goes. Okay. You good?
I think I turned myself down a little too much. There we go.
There we go.
I'm back.
I hear
As
you
Missy
now.
Elliott would say, turn the volume up.
Oops. Yeah, playing with the game a little too much. Welcome back, everybody, listening to us at home. Hello to our Facebook Live viewers. This is the Push Start Podcast. This is, we come every week, record on Wednesdays, new
Word.
Episode out on Fridays, and we just talk video games. It's a good time. Have a nice, fun topic every week, and yes, there's a full house in here today. Squad. We got Prince the Podcasting Pooch.
Yeah, you're trying to get on the ones and twos.
And Christian has his handsome little baby boy with him, Grayson.
What's up, Gray?
Say hi to everyone. He's like, nah, it's Baba time.
No. Yeah, he's not feeling it. He's not feeling it. Not,
you'll know if he feels it.
He's here. He's smiling. He's
y'all
happy.
Y'all gonna know.
He loves animals, so I'll just let Prince babysit him.
Okay, good. I don't know how Prince is with kids yet, but so far so good. Awesome. Yeah, today's it's a good week.
Hell yeah.
A couple weeks away from Christmas. And
dude, can we talk about how fast these years just zip by?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's
unbelievable.
It's over already.
I blame the shadow government. They're speeding up time and the polar ice caps are melting really fast, causing us to go into an exponential rotation. My little side cryptid, you know.
Yo, I love that. We need more of that. That was great.
I will not say no to more of that. So good. So yeah, this is such a nice day. Me and Christian have been doing this for almost six months now.
Yeah,
Which is crazy. And yeah, like you said,
it doesn't seem like that.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it feels much faster than that.
Much faster.
It do.
And Caddy, you've been with us for 2 months now,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. You joined us in October, a little bit before.
Mm-hmm. It's dope.
So 2 months. Yeah, time flies, dude. And yeah, thanks for making this one hell of a year, boys. I appreciate you
hell
both.
Hell yeah, man. No Shout problem. Out to you guys. Three cheers for the amigos.
Word. Let's get it.
Hey.
Here, here.
Yeah. Go oh, Team Venture. Yes.
Dilly Dilly.
But for sure.
For sure.
It's Caddy's time to shine.
It is. Yeah, me and Christian have pretty much had our pick of the shows forever now.
Yep.
And Caddy has been the young lion, the quiet yet deadly.
Word, the silent assassin.
silent but deadly.
With the farts, the fart blades.
So we want a Caddy. We're going to do a little bit of a cycling now as far as us picking how our shows go.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Caddy's time to shine.
Oh, yeah. And I picked the famous and ultra... Let's rock, baby. Yep, that's mm-hmm. right. Devil May Cry.
Devil May Cry. Caddy was super excited. I was super excited when you mentioned it.
I was extra excited because I know how my boy feels about Word. Dante and his compatriots.
It was so many picks and choices that I wanted to because I wanted to do Elder Scrolls, but then I was just like, that's going to take a lot.
Yeah, that's
a
deep dive.
That would take a super lot, you know? And then it's just like, you had to be really, really... I mean, we could deep dive on any game, but you had to be really, like, super...
For sure.
Even I'm not even, like, super knowledgeable. Like, I have knowledge on Elder Scrolls, each of them, but it's just like, it's so much lore in that shit.
That's a vast set of games too, man.
Yeah.
Vast.
It is. Yeah, this is a solid choice. A lot of people like this. I think I would have to say that most of our GHU community would say that, you know, Devil May Cry is up there and is a very enjoyable game. I have to agree.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I've played...
If you say otherwise, I don't like you.
As a collective, we don't like you.
Yeah. as a collective. That's for damn sure. I played two. Three was actually my first one, and we'll run through all these. Mm-hmm. But I always really appreciated the style of gameplay. And yes. It's cool because Capcom makes it, mm-hmm. and they also make Resident Evil.
Shout out Capcom.
Capcom. And then Devil May Cry, after all the planning, after things got underway, it was originally supposed to be Resident Evil 4. I don't know if you guys knew that.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yes, it was originally intended to be a Resident Evil game. And wow. then they realized that it was so vastly different mm-hmm. than any of the other video games in the franchise. They decided to make it its own franchise.
Yeah.
That's special. That,
because they have a lot of horror elements in there, too.
Like, they do. They do. And it's kind of weird seeing... I mean, I wonder at what point of the development that they were like, okay, this is definitely not a Resident Evil game.
Right.
Because it is. It's a very unique experience, but it does deal with supernatural stuff.
Yeah,
for sure. I wonder if it was in the planning or after they already started... you know, making, the, you know, actually physically making the game. I'm actually curious as to why that happened or when that happened, but I still think it's a little bit interesting, you know, that it was pretty much accidentally created and became one of Capcom and video games' biggest franchises.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I pale to think where video gaming culture would be without the influence of Devil May Cry.
I know that it is like... the father of, like, maybe, let me see, when did God of War come out? God of War came out after, right?
I'm pretty sure it was after.
Yeah, it looks like the first Devil May Cry came out in 2001.
Yeah.
I remember that. I was like 11 or 12. Who calling me? No, not today. oh, shit, come on. But yeah, like 2001, early? Yeah, 2001, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's pretty much like... Your father of, like, your Kingdom Hearts, or, like, you get in all these weapons, or you beating all these bosses.
Mm-hmm. August 2001, to be exact. Yeah, August 23rd.
Your Dante's Infernos and whatnot. You know, well, actually, you know, that story is, similarly based off of Dante's Inferno, with the characters like Dante and Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. But, yeah, you know. I feel like it's just like the precessor to, like, you beat them up, you go around, get all these cool weapons. Also, too,
the combo system in that was.
I was just
going
to say the styles. You know what I'm saying?
I love that.
And each time the game progressed, it, like, offered something more to the stylization of how you play the game. And even, like, when you look at your basic, your characters that, like, your lovable but hateable characters, when you look at Dante, you, like, he's a lovable jerk. You know, like.
For sure.
He's that guy that, you know what I'm saying, like, he ain't dependable all the time.
Right.
But, like, when he there when it counts.
Facts. He always struck me as, like, a Duke Nukem-esque character in the way he was just such a smartass.
Yeah.
But I love that about him.
He was quite his own character.
Yeah.
And then, too, like, Dante is actually based off of a Japanese actor. I remember I looked it up one day. I'm not too familiar with his name, but you could research it. Like, look it up on Google.
Yeah.
Or a character that Dante is based off of in real life. He was like this cool chain smoking Lupin III dude, like Spike Spiegel, like.
Nice.
Dude, you know, like a lot of Japanese characters are based off of their like detective esque culture, you know, mm-hmm. characters. So
that's what I did appreciate. You know, I really appreciate about this game because it did have a anime-esque feel to it.
For sure.
You know what I mean? I mean, Capcom has a lot of properties. Obviously, they are a big Japanese fixation with Mega Man.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And obviously, there's so many other games. But you can definitely tell there's almost an anime influence on it. Like, I could see that it being a really good anime.
Well, Dante has an anime.
Actually, I was going to talk about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Devil May Cry series, you will never get the full story unless you read the book.
Oh,
there's actually three parts.
Okay.
There's a first, there was, well, the actual novel, then there's an anime, then there's a manga. But they each are, you know how Devil May Cry is, like, separated into, like, a crazy story where it's,
yes.
like, three, then one. But then after that, it's, like, the animated series.
Yeah. Okay.
Then it's four, then it's two. Then
oh, wow, it jumps all over. Okay.
Yeah, so you get the gist of, like, the story. Well, we'll explain through it, like, when we go through the actual order of how it goes, but...
Yeah, please, enlighten me, because, like I said, I just played a couple of the games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the overall grand story. I know that there is a new Devil May Cry coming out.
Oh, I can't
is
wait
it
with
supposed
that.
To be this year? No, well, this upcoming year, 2019.
Yeah, 2019.
Is it Devil May Cry 5?
It's 5, yeah. Okay. Big Nero.
Nero.
Yeah. So. People be like, oh, he's just an imitation of, no. of Dante. No, he's not, actually. No. He's far from it. He's like, he's like actually both Nero and Virgil.
And Virgil.
Mm-hmm. In many aspects where he feels like he needs to obtain his power to protect the ones that he loves. But yeah, he has that smirky, snide attitude. They actually, Dante and Virgil are actually one-esque characters. Like, they're like the same dude, but like in
opposite
different
sides of the cone.
Yeah. They're twins. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that either, that they're twins. Because, like, they look exactly alike, except for just Virgil just has his hair slicked back.
Right.
Yep.
All right.
I
very
love Dante
good.
And Virgil. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Dante and Virgil combo in Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Ultimate. God. Let's get it.
all right. I was doing some reading here, and okay. it said, but going back to my point about it being originally Resident Evil, it was the development started in 1999 on it. And yes, it was the earliest incarnation of Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
But they wanted this cool factor, which obviously Dante possesses, and they tried to make it work within the parameters of Resident Evil, try to make it work, and it just didn't.
I was going to say, that doesn't make sense in the confines of Resident Evil.
No, yeah, it definitely does not.
The style is totally ridiculous.
Like, unless they made it like a game about Wesker.
Right.
Yeah.
Moved around
he
like
actually,
Dante.
Yeah, he actually... Yeah. I think probably they probably got that influence from that. Like,
it's probably... Here. The story was... this is the Devil May Cry take on Resident Evil 4 originally. Okay. The story was based on unraveling the mystery surrounding the body of protagonist Tony, an invincible man with skills and an intellect exceeding that of normal people. Mm. His superhuman abilities explained with biotechnology. So that's what they were originally...
That's interesting.
That's what they were originally going with. And they're like, yeah, this isn't going to work, so we're going to add the demons and stuff. And yeah. I think, obviously, in the long run... it was very beneficial because they got great franchise out of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't ruin Resident Evil.
That's what made sense for the franchise.
Yeah, they didn't ruin Resident Evil yet.
That's true.
Let's be honest.
They didn't start doing that till 5. Oh, man.
Six.
In the movies. Resident Evil 2, the movie.
Oh, my God.
Get the fuck out of here.
I feel like Batman right now.
You ever watch that?
Justice League Dark?
Yeah.
No.
You gotta watch it.
Enlighten me. Yeah, you have to enlighten me.
Anytime Batman, like, they're talking about magic or anything like that, like crazy supernatural stuff, he's like, like, I don't feel that.
and you feel exactly what he's saying. Like, yeah. It can be implied in, like, any situation.
All right. Before we get into the original Devil May Cry story, which we'll let Caddy do, I'm just looking up some stats here.
Okay.
By July 2006, Devil May Cry, the first game, had sold 1.1 million copies and earned $38 million in the United States alone. And it's the 48th highest selling PS2, Xbox, or GameCube game of all time.
Legendary.
Nice.
Or actually, all time, excuse me, between January 2000 and July 2006. Which is really good that a game lasted that long and still accumulated sales. And I'm looking at the reception from the first game, and it is all top-notch stuff. 4 stars, 5 stars, ranked, you know, 90 and higher, 9 out of 10, or 90 plus out of 100. So it is an unbelievable game. Caddy, kick us off. Walk us through the world of Devil May Cry, my friend.
Okay, so y'all want me to start you off, like, how it actually, like, the storyline, how it goes in order, or, like, just, like...
Go through by game, and then we'll mention it, yeah.
Devil May Cry 1 is the second part in the story, in story plotline wise, but is the first installment in the game where it puts you already in the world where Dante he's already established his business, Devil May Cry, his demon hunting business.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much he knows he's half demon, and he already went through his trials with his brother.
His mother's the angel, right? And his dad's the demon?
That storyline is in DMC.
Okay. So that's different.
We'll get into that one later on because we're going to talk.
I never understood how those two correlated, so I'm glad we're having this conversation.
We'll get into that because that's not actual a bad game. I actually like that game, and I like where they kind of went with that game. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
But
my bad. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. It's totally cool.
I get
it's
sidetracked.
Totally cool. But yeah, so pretty much he gets a visit by Trish, you know what I'm saying? And
I love
her. She invokes his skills to go stop a demon named Mundus to be revived on an island. And pretty much, like, he goes there with her. You know what I'm saying? he was like, when you first start off the story, he goes to the island, you know, he finds this, he slays these demons and whatnot, and then there are these marionettes. Then he encounters the sword known as Alastor. That's like his, not his sec, that's his secondary sword. And I believe that the swords that they wield, or the weapons that they wield, have to get a taste of demon blood in order to fully activate their powers.
Oh.
Because in every one of them, not in every one of them, but like in this one and in three, the Alastor had to stab Jontae in his chest in order to get the, in order to awaken his true power.
Okay.
Nice. And even in three, the other one, Rebellion. Rebellion had to taste of demon blood in order to transform. But basically they... He basically hits him. He decides to help her because he looks like, she looks like his mom, which is, you know, whatever. I don't know what triggers that. And then they go through their sorts of going to fight Mundus and stuff like that, which is his old dad's enemy, Sparta, you know, and then...
Son of Sparta.
Yeah. So he gains all these powers and stuff like that later on to find he's fighting this one version of himself, because early on in the game, like, Dante encounters this mirror and then he steps out, which is the symbolism of that's Virgil. But it's a reflection of himself because they're twins, but he transforms into Nello Angelo, which is Mundus, who took over Virgil's body at the end of Devil May Cry 3, which is why it's all jumbled and crazy. But basically, you know, you just go fight Mundus. Trish helps you along the way because she was made by Mundus to look like his mom in order to trick him to get the full to get the full power of Sparta.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a crazy storyline.
That's some savagery.
And to make it so hard, it's like I'm talking about it in the middle of this. Like, we were like dead in the middle of the story. So that's why it's so kind of like hard to get a good pinpoint, because you meet all of these characters in the midst of like the whole entire storyline. You just don't know how it fits
or got
how
it
ties together.
I gotcha.
So what was the next game that came out after the original?
The original? Mm-hmm. Well, it was two.
Number two.
Yeah.
And where does that fall in the grand scheme of the story?
Two? Oh man, that's even more complicated. Two is like after it's the last one. It's the last game. Well, it's the last part in the story where Dante, he's fully matured. He's older. He basically is a well-experienced demon hunter. He meets this woman named Lucia. You know, she was created by this other higher demon who was created to... he was trying to revive one of his father's, Sparta's, old enemies. They used to challenge him for the Battle of Hell or being the King of Hell. So basically, like, it's a story that's involved in the end, like, far towards the end, going into Devil May Cry 5. I believe that storyline takes place, it's right, okay, there's 3, 1, the animated series, then it's 4, and then it's 2.
Okay.
So it's at the very end. Well, not the very end, because 5 is after all of that.
Okay. Yeah, I had a little bit of experience playing two.
Yeah, how was yours?
I enjoyed it very much. Like I said, my first experience was number three.
Yeah,
and
I think that's like everybody's most memorable experience.
I think so too. But yes, it was a great. I had a great time playing it. I don't think I beat it, but I played it enough to really understand. I love the environments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the environments in itself were like very, like, even when you played the game. And it made sure, like, well, let's talk about how the game, the function of all of the games. The game's function was to generate as many points for alphabet ranking without being hit. So that caused you to go into different styles or different modes. But, well, not until 3, it got real deep.
Yes,
but,
it did.
Like, you could just, like, the longer you didn't get touched and could style on your opponents with the sword and gun combos and the different weapon combos, the more you really, you know, gained your rank, and you would want to get up to S.
Yes. Yeah. I really like that combo system was very, like, whimsical. It was fun. Yeah. I actually thoroughly enjoyed it because it was like, okay, no, like, keep going. I got to get this, you know, get this S ranking. And
yeah, true. And it also challenged you to use your environment. Like,
yes,
to jump around, to, like, avoid area, like, avoid, like, you know, I remember in the one fight where I fought the lava spider, and the explosions would come from the ground and stuff, like, where he would keep challenging you.
Right.
And you would just have to use your environment, just, like, keep jumping around, keep moving around, and it would force you to use other abilities that you gained, like, force you to use, like, other things that you've learned against other enemies.
Right.
They were actually pretty hard ass games.
They're very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand. I know 3 had some re-release stuff, but yeah, I mean, 2 was, I loved the fighting, like I said, not just the combo system and getting the points, but I think the fighting system as a whole was really unique and a trendsetter because, you know, obviously he has his sword.
Yeah.
And on a whim, you could switch right to guns.
Yeah.
And it was cool because there was no ammunition.
It was unlimited.
Just going. Ebony and Ivory, right?
Yeah, Ebony and Ivory.
Okay.
Living in perfect harmony.
I do remember that at least. And I thought it was really cool that you could, yeah, just go from, you know, hitting the sword and then start, right? You can do the combo with it all accumulated for your combo points
And the Majin Demon form was like the strongest, because it was towards the end. And once you got that, like, nobody could really beat you.
Right.
You would just, you know. I think that too, that's like where they got the idea for Dante using, in all the Devil May Cries, you can like slowly like see the, right now they showed a preview of Devil May Cry 5 where Dante used a motorcycle as a weapon.
Yes.
It's like a weapon now. But in all of them, you could slowly see like, did he really pre-plan all this stuff? You could kind of see where all the, like the little imagery and the little ideas to like the prequel to like what's to come.
Right.
So where like you see all the scenes where Dante is using the bike as a weapon or people using the bike as a weapon. So now it's just like, well, Dante's now using the bike as a weapon now, like a literal hell nunchuck weapon.
Yeah. Well, just it almost makes you want to play the old games again too.
Yeah.
I would have to say, yeah, it was just the environments blew me away. They were, I'm not going to say modern, but like realistic yet whimsical and fantasy.
It was like a American metropolis, in a sense, like a futuristic, like you didn't really, like that's the thing about it too, like you don't really know where this like game takes place, and you know, and that's the fun thing about it, like they built this area and this like this whole entire thing and this lore and legend of like Sparta, the underworld, you know, like how does this all connect? They're not giving you all the answers. You're just jumping right into the game and you're finding out things slowly. And then you start to notice too, like you would think, like when you go from 1 to 2, you'd be like, well, Dante don't act like this. Why is he acting like this right now? Like, and then what point of time? And like, then too, it's like, why don't I have like my other powers? Or why don't I have, you know, you would just start to like, it starts to sprinkle in there just a little by little.
I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah, 2 was really fun. It was a fun time.
Yeah.
Then we go on to, obviously, Devil May Cry 3, which is probably the most popular one in the series, I'd have to admit. Well, I mean, yeah, the most fondly remembered, at least, we'll go with.
Because the reason why 2 is because it's just like, it's a curse and a blessing for that one, because I never forget it, too, because Devil May Cry came out, what was it, like 2005? I know I was like 15 or one of them. Well, Devil May Cry came out, and then 3
came out in 2005, yep.
Okay, yeah, and then I remember, like, the special edition one came out a day right after my birthday.
2006.
So, yeah.
It was their special edition.
January 24th. That was a day right after my birthday.
Okay.
So I definitely went to go pick it up. But yeah, that game in itself had the most stylization, the most changes, the most mode, finesse, you know. Actually, no, 4 had that too. 4 had crazy finesse. But it just gave you more options.
Yes.
Especially, like, gave you more answers to, like, well, because people thought it was in the future, you know, Devil May Cry 3. But certain things didn't make sense because Virgil was there. Like, and you know from the other stories that his brother died.
Right.
Because what Trish said and stuff like that. But it's just like, you would just slowly figure out that this game takes place in the past. But
which I didn't realize it, you know, when I first played it. Obviously, I didn't follow the story completely to a T, but you know what I mean? I was playing it, and then I heard, like, years later, like, oh, no, it's a prequel game.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool.
And this was, like, the blessing and curse part, because when you played the game offered a whole new style. Like, it offered the same style, but a brand new style of how you could actually focus on playing that game, about not being touched and getting these style points. It also introduced the double S and the triple S, you know, for What was the second double S? I'm trying to think. Oof. Showtime. Showtime. Was
I don't think
S.
I ever got that good.
Yeah, because it was dope.
Oh yeah, here it is, right here. Crazy blast. Yep. All right, yep. Sweet. Showtime and stylish.
Stylish. Yep.
So
it just offered just a lot of like it was it offered a lot of modes. You could build these on these modes. It was Trickster, which was like focused on you like dodging enemies or you like evading them. Then it was Gunslinger, which focused on like your firearms, like the one that you got from Lady, the Ebony and Ivory combo, the long shot one.
Yes.
Then there was
that's right. You could get multiple like different guns in that game. I do remember that.
They made sure. Then it was Royal Guard, which could focus on like just the reflecting and deflecting. Then you got two other abilities in which you had to get by beating certain bosses. As you progress through the game, like the shadow one was when you fought your shadow self, and that ability was called Doppelganger. Dante could shoot out clones of himself.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Then what else? There was Quicksilver. I hated that boss battle because that's like the one that allowed you to slow down. That's the ability that allowed you to slow down time and fight enemies and stuff like that.
Okay.
I hated that boss battle so much because it was the chariot. You had to fight like a flaming horse on a chariot.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, and you, like, first, it's like, I think it's right after you fought, not Agni and Ruja. It might be the electric guitar woman. I don't know. Forgot her name. But, yeah, you would be right on the bridge, and the horse would be looking at you, and then it's charging at you. You would kind of play like chicken with it.
Okay.
You would fight it at first, and then y'all break. That game, actually, was so difficult. Like you said, they had to make a re-release. So, like, when... Because I beat the first one, but the first
Are we talking
one,
about three?
Yeah. The first one was so... So crazy that it was just like people just had to like re-release one. And then the thing about that system is they had like a turbo mode. Turbo mode and the gold mode. And the turbo mode was, it was like 20 times faster.
What?
Yeah, it was like, so you could play like super fast. But if it was too hard, there was a gold mode, which allowed you to like, the game could sense like if you lost or if it was being too difficult, it would change the difficulty slightly.
Based on what you were doing. Okay.
That's dope. Based off
of
stuff.
And then like, it was actually a bunch of things in 3 that like.
Was that for PS2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's the one I have.
There was like a little secret thing too. Like if you could, when you use Dante's doppelganger mode, you could actually pick up a controller, press start, and play as it. Another person can play as it.
Oh, no kidding.
That's fire.
And Virgil's part too.
So basically, you're saying we need to do that.
Yeah, pretty much. Have it. Like at the end when he fought Arkham with Sparta's power.
Yeah.
He, you could actually play with Virgil at the end by just pressing start and teaming up. And then too. And Devil May Cry, the special edition, they introduced the ending story with Virgil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was lit, too. He had his own skill set, like, what was it called? It was like Shadow Master or something.
See, I need to be on that, because Virgil's my guy.
Yo, Virgil had the crazy... I could see a lot of his fighting. Like, going back to that, I could see, like, a lot of his movesets. Like, if you look at those movesets, too, and you play Marvel vs. Capcom 3 Ultimate...
Yeah.
You could see how all those moves be chained together. Like, from the Ice That's Nunchucks... So dope. To Agni and Ruja combo, to the electric slide, and then like even with Virgil, a lot of his special moves,
yeah,
like they were like based off of like his strengths and weaknesses, like in the board game or like in the match when you would face Virgil in 3,
yeah,
he would do that one attack where he would go everywhere, you know, his one special, yeah, and then you would see him slide his sword. You would have to actually hit him at that time,
yeah,
and in the game if you actually blocked Virgil's attack, and then he would do that in Marvel vs. Capcom. You could hit him.
That's right? Fire.
Yeah, so it was like if you paid attention to the game, you would.
I love that they included those little elements in there. That's the little things that make so much sense.
Like that little Beowulf uppercut and the slide down. That's like his actual moveset in the game. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, they did a good job translating all that to a fighting game.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
The 3 had the most content, like I agree. Sure. And that's why it was more like a. It got you into it, but then it's just like, why did y'all upgrade to this style? And these games it took place in the future. And then it makes you think, like, why weren't you using these awesome-ass powers then?
Before? Oh, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
It's like,
So it's a little weird, but yeah, I can see that. So did you play both versions of the special edition?
Yeah, because...
Did you think the original was really that hard?
That game was super difficult.
Yeah,
that's funny because a person who's very critical of our show said it wasn't that difficult.
No, That game was super difficult.
I would disagree. Hard disagree.
Okay, that's what I figured.
No, that game was actually... So you might have been playing the special edition one, homie. I don't know what you thought. Because that game was actually super difficult.
We actually ended up giving that original version away, too. When we were doing our bi-weekly GHU Live, we gave that game away. And, yeah, it wasn't that hard.
Get out of here. That game's litty.
No, man, that game was super... Oh, I got to throw up on my own matter.
The essence.
Oh, no.
That game was actually extremely dope.
Okay. Very good. I mean, really, I mean, I know you explained some of it, but really, what was the difficulty thing? It was needed?
Because, okay, it was like certain... Okay, like, you would fight certain bosses, like the horse one I remember, like he would, like, have, like, this total moveset where he would, like, send out a bunch of flame everywhere, and then, like, he would teleport and stop time, and you would have to, like, and then send out these floating, the orb that would follow you.
Okay.
So, like, if you got hit... Oh, I'm about to say. You got hit, it would slow down time, and then he would charge and rush you. You had to get the perfect timing. And
that's what always made it extra difficult for me is, like, you have to have precise timing with some of these, well, with most of the combos.
Yeah.
And, like, if you're not used to playing fighting games, like, I wasn't at first. Like, I wasn't huge on fighting games when I first got introduced to Devil May Cry. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until, like, I became older than I became, like, more substantial at the Devil May Cry games. Because those things are tough.
They're very tough. Especially very adult-oriented.
Your very first time, I guarantee you, your very first time, you didn't beat all them bosses straight on through because it's impossible.
Nah.
You don't know how they operate. You don't know how they fight.
Especially if you're like us and you want to get, like, the high ratings. I mean, too, it's like, just completing it ain't enough.
Yeah. So you're not getting all them style points. You're not getting all of none of that. Yeah. You're not doing none of that crazy stuff. Not immediately at first.
Mm-mm.
No.
You got to get used to the patterns of how the bosses work.
And then you got to understand how your weapons work in tandem together.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you're going from straight Ebony and Ivory to Agni and Rouge or Flame Wind combo, and then you hit with Ice Numb, like it's a whole entire like thing. You can then, not to mention, hey, Greg.
Grayson said his first podcast words.
He knew. Yes. He was like, you're right. You're right.
He said Uncle Caddy is dropping knowledge on y'all boys.
Real talk. And then on top of that, too. I would say 3 could be even more, say, would be more hard because it was an option whether you can choose that or not. And then there was the Bloody Palace, which was a survival mode.
Okay.
And it was like 999 levels of pure tyranny and carnage. Yeah.
That sounds wild.
Yeah. So.
That's not for the faint of heart, it seems. Nah.
No. Yeah, Devil May Cry 3, it always stands out. To me, like I said, it was the first one that I played, so mm-hmm. it kind of made sense. It was kind of funny in hindsight that it was a prequel mm-hmm. game versus a continuation of the story. But you know what? Years later down the road, I noticed like how the and we're not done yet with this with the earlier games, but how much Devil May Cry influenced other games. I mean, have you guys played Deadpool?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's like they just put another character orb over him,
right? The swords, everything, and the guns, and switching to the guns. Mm-hmm.
He's like
same
a lovable
thing.
Dickhead. You know what I'm saying? A lovable jerk.
It's the same thing. And I always thought it was cool once they finally like they were both in Marvel's Capcom, and they were both very similar.
When you use them in the game together, it's a problem.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I 100% agree with that.
Dude, pineapple surprise.
And then, too, 3 was, like, 3 just, like, made everything make sense.
Yeah. Right.
It made everything make sense. It was just, like, oh, I get it now. This is why this is the way it is.
Right.
Just put everything just together.
I felt like in 3, that was the most polished mechanics, too.
Yeah.
I felt like the seamless connection of the combos was, like, top-notch there.
Yeah, they made it a point to, like, they wanted you to actually have more styles to, like, build up that. We was actually talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
They added more styles so you could actually build up more.
Keeping it stylish.
Yo, because it was the one scene in Devil May Cry 3 where you find out that Arkham been playing all 3 of y'all, you, Lady, and Virgil, and then y'all do the little sword, y'all weakened from the battle with each other. So then he come through stunting and flossing with his jester form and whatnot, and then Like, y'all all three get to y'all senses, and then y'all clap. Y'all got him, like, all cornered in the center with all three of y'all weapons. Then he transform and disappear on y'all. And
that's
then
crazy.
He, like, does this one move where he, like, flashes, disappears, go under y'all, kicks all three of y'all. Like, the game is just mad stylish. Just, like, or, like, the or lady when she's fighting all the demons, and she runs out of all the ammo. So she throws all the ammo in the, she throws all the guns and ammo in the air and starts shooting everybody and reloads and starts shooting at the same time. Like, the game is just,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, I never thought of, like, games would come to the point where it's like, let's see how dope you can kill people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
let's see how good your combos are.
And give you rewards.
Rewards.
For.
Like, that's dope. That was so innovative at that time, especially.
Yeah,
it was very,
and,
yeah.
And to figure out the chains and stuff like that, like what you can get more, because it was not that you had to get a couple of shots off in order to even build up the rank of dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then you had to keep it up. And the enemies were just no joke.
I love Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
What
sure.
it and what's next after that?
Game wise
would be 4, obviously,
yeah,
right?
4. 4 would come next, and that's the story with Nero. That's my favorite one.
Yeah, Nero's your boy. Nero's your boy.
Yeah, Nero is my favorite character because he's more of a character you can flesh out. You started off in a story where you don't know everything about him. You just know like he's somehow tied to this, and this game is introducing you, not giving you all the clues. It actually gave you a lot of clues, but if you actually kept on with like the little mini series, like the mangas and the little pre-chapters and animes, you will understand how they all correlate and tie together.
Right.
Nice.
And pretty much, it was just like a new take on just giving a new character some shine because, you know, I guess Capcom was feeling like, we can't have it always be about
Dante. Yeah.
You know?
Which is it. Yeah, that's smart. I mean, that's kind of what they did with Resident Evil 2. You break up the monotony of a certain character being overplayed.
You'll get character fatigue.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was a great way where they segued into bringing a new character. You know, Nero, he was, like I said, he was mad. He was Dante-esque, but yet Nero-esque at the same time. They introduced a new mechanic to his arm. The Devil Bringer.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Devil Bringer was a new mechanic where it offers so much with Red Queen and what is his gun's name? I think it's Blue Rose. One of those. No, his sword is Red Queen, I think. Whatever. but yeah, like, you could just grab somebody and just do mad, rev up the blade and stuff at the same time.
Okay.
Man,
Was Chris just making the noises?
Yeah, he was with it.
You know.
Yeah, right, dude. Greg.
They definitely took that. I feel like they took that right from Nero and used it for the game prototype.
Yeah.
Because a lot of his attacks are like that arm base kind of snatch you up and combine it with something else.
Yeah, because that in a sense was just like them just trying to just... Because they already completed the game. 3 came out. And 2, it was like where you got all your powers.
Yeah.
You didn't have to like really switch.
Mm.
It was like more, you could actually, it was like by different buttons or triggers.
Got you.
Like you could just press a certain button. You didn't have to go switch to that different weapon mode. You could just actually just go and just start chaining the attacks seamlessly.
That's fire.
So, and then it was just like a clone of 3 pretty much, but just like a storyline of you were trying to find out like who was Nero, what did he have to do with everything. He's Virgil's son,
right?
Spoiler alert, bitches.
Oh, well, now I know. Shoot.
But yeah,
what I mean, besides that Nero character, what else made it your favorite of the franchise?
Well, it just allowed more, like, because it allowed more characters to be fleshed out.
Okay.
It allowed like you to just understand, like, or just even more about Virgil, in a sense. Like, Virgil wasn't as hardcore as people think he is. Virgil had a heart. He had, like, things he wanted to protect. People misunderstood why he wanted to gain so much power. It fleshed out that. It just allowed other characters. You can play as other characters and stuff like that. It brought a new mechanic to the whole stylization thing.
Yeah.
Just, like...
I feel like they took the mechanics that already existed and polished them as clean as they could make them.
It was a crazy good game.
Yeah.
It was a crazy good game. It was actually, I would think, the best out of all of them.
Okay.
And I would say, and then I would say this too, DMC mechanic-wise, the newest one or whatever, that in its sense is the ultimate polishing of that those mechanics. But a lot of those mechanics, because they were so polished, made it easier for you to get those combos. Because Devil May Cry 4 was like the Devil Bringer, the arm stretching and the arm techniques.
Yeah,
they would not make it easier, but they would just make it so you could combo way better.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. Sweet. Well, what was that? Like next gen at the time, was that like PS3?
That was PS3, Xbox 360.
Because okay, I remember, so no PS2. It wasn't that.
Yeah,
because
I remember that they specifically wanted it to be Devil May Cry 4 to reach to other demographics. Like they, that's the first time they put it on Xbox 360.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Because they had the HD release too, and they wanted to target other gamers, like the Call of Duties, the Madden players, but they didn't understand. Like, they actually did the highest that they ever sold in the Devil May Cry game. Like, that's like the highest.
Oh, really?
I believe that's like the highest. They actually did what they accomplished, but they felt like they failed because they didn't secure the numbers of a Madden game.
Okay.
But what they didn't understand is that the Madden game and the Call of Duty game is a different type of game than Devil May Cry.
All different monsters. Yeah.
So you did good. You did what you actually were supposed to do.
Yeah.
But you can't expect to get those type of numbers.
Yeah, because Madden's more like, it could be,
yeah,
there's very hardcore players and there's very casual players. Where a Devil May Cry, some people, not everyone, not a lot, you know, some video gamers aren't into the fantasy-esque stuff or that style of video gaming. So, but I'd say they've done all right. I'd say Devil May Cry has done a very good job of being considered one of the greatest franchises of all time. Oh, I'd have to say that.
I would say the reason why I even like Kingdom Hearts or any type of adventure game or anything like that is because it was like Devil May Cry based, you know? Like, it's just basically you got a bunch of cool weapons, techniques, to see how it all really connected together. That's why I'm so nice at Kingdom Hearts, because it's just like, it's basically the same mechanics. You get a bunch of abilities, a bunch of different weapons, you just finesse your way through the game, and it looks, the game is designed, because when you look at it, you feel like you styling through the game.
Yeah.
You're cool, you're this
it's
cool
rewarding.
Guy. Gunslinger, gun nunchuck, sword slinging, just weapon using, old western Japanese dude. Smoking cigarettes and blowing people's faces off. What you know about it?
That's awesome. So good.
Dude.
Now, is that the last entry into the series until 5 comes out?
Until 5, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if there was any like side entries. You know. Thank you. Bless you, buddy.
Bless you, buddy.
He's all happy and stuff.
He's always happy after he spits up. That's crazy.
He is. Yeah. He's a lot of spittle tonight. Yeah. he's so talkative. I love it. Yeah, I didn't know if there's any like side spin-off stories, kind of like
they're like, we could talk about those things, but you would have to talk about them in the order of the story.
Okay,
and if we go over, we can go over like the order of the story.
Let's do briefly. That. We're doing pretty good on time. If you want to run through the entire order of the story,
well, you want to run through the order first, or you want to run through the last or DMC?
I love DMC. We gotta talk about that.
Okay, yeah, talk about DMC.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, now, everybody might not agree with DMC because how they felt and because they wanted...
How they changed the character and all that.
And it wasn't even Ninja Theory. That's the people who made the game or designed the game and the take of the game. That's their interpretation of Dante.
Grayson is going in today.
he like, you right. That's right.
Where is it? DMC, Uncle Caddy. I love that game.
He ready.
I played it yesterday.
But yeah, Yo, Gray.
Grayson, you're taking over all the shine of the show today, buddy.
You is, but it's okay, though. I love it. You always good, Uncle Caddy.
Here, sit next to Uncle Caddy. You love your Uncle Caddy.
Yeah. Okay, we got this. So yeah, Capcom wanted to Ninja Theory to give a different take on the game. They wanted to give him more Western American feel.
Okay.
That's why he was like that.
He looked so different.
Yeah, he was so different, and it was like a 90s, too early punk, you know, looking
feel. Emo looking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
which I didn't mind, honestly. I thought he looked dope.
There were several reasons why I agreed with this choice, and they didn't really have to change anything, you know what I'm saying? Because Ninja Theory originally wanted to go with an original, well, they wanted to go with what Capcom normally style Dante as.
Yeah.
Capcom was insistent, like, no, we want y'all to do a different game. So y'all can't hate on them for that different take. Two, if you really think about it, people are like, oh, Dante doesn't act like that. First of all, that's Dante at his youngest probably point.
While he's still getting used to his abilities and everything.
So this is technically before like Devil May Cry 3?
It would, that's what you could consider this as, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Because even when you look at, and this is the only thing I found wrong with the game too, but it's still right, is Virgil. Virgil? Yeah. He had a good kind of characterization, but the stylization of how they did it was terrible.
But I agree. Yeah, I have to agree with you there.
The monocle and the little hat. Oh, man, get that shit up out of here. Looking like fucking fucking
Sherlock Sparta.
Or you know how Urkel turned into Stefan? That's just like the penguin turned into him in the time in the machine. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
But yeah, that's right, Gray. But yeah, I love that game. That game was actually pretty good. I felt like they just did a super younger version of Dante, because Dante was all of those elements. But think about if you were a naive adolescent.
Right.
You wouldn't want to listen to, and that's perfectly Dante's character when he was younger.
Yeah.
Like super young. Even in DMC 3, he was kind of like that, but he just cared in more nonchalant ways, but it wasn't as more jerky. You had to go through those type of times in order to come and transition up. Right, Gray? That's right.
He really wants the podcast.
He wants the podcast.
That's right. Hey, when you're 1 year old.
Yeah. But yeah, I loved it because it introduced a new story where that's the one with the Nephilim, and that they were Nephilim.
Yeah.
They were half angel, half demon. Their father was demon, but their mom was an angel.
Okay.
I like that they kind of tried to like add that little story element of it to get you more attached to the character. That's what I feel like the whole point of that was. Like, if you weren't already attached to the lore, that's something that, especially for, like, new people that have never been privy to the previous Devil May Cry games. Like, I felt like that game really targeted, like, a new generation while also being connected enough to the original for, like, people like us that have been playing it since the beginning.
That is true.
Yeah. I honestly like where they went with it. A lot of people were critical of DMC, but I like DMC.
The only other thing I could say that was really, it was easy.
The boss battles were interesting too.
Yeah, it was. They the one combo made it mad easy for you to spam style. It was like the one where you would grab them closer. I forgot which one it was. I think it was the angel one where it was like the scythe. It would bring you for the long distance attacks.
Yeah,
you could just keep spamming it over and over again until you got to a certain rank and then just styled out. It didn't really allow versatility, but it had mad versatile weapons.
Hella weapons
but,
in there.
But that was the weakness and flaw. In the games, you got so many stylizations that it becomes way too easy for you to chain them all together.
I get you.
I feel like that's what got it its downfall. You know, the storyline.
Oversaturation of the movement.
The storyline was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Everything was pretty cool. And then it's like, why don't you like this? Devil May Cry has always been outrageously silly or goofy and yet serious at the same time.
Right.
And it's always pushed the edge of, you know, like, where Dante like, fuck this or fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm doing this, I'm doing that. He's just a teenager. He's just going to express it more. So I don't know why people hate on it. People always afraid of change.
That's for sure.
I love DMC. Yeah.
Or just bringing something new to the table.
All right. So that's that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think next, I mean, we could talk about Devil May Cry 5.
We could.
If you want to talk about maybe some of your expectations, what you've seen so far.
My expectations for 5 is to probably complete the story in a sense of where, with the story of Dante and Virgil, and then passing on the torch to Nero. And then them opening up other characters. Like, a lot of characters return, you know, from 4.
Trish in there?
Yeah, Trish is in there.
Love Trish.
Yeah, I think she showed up in a trailer.
That's bae.
Dante, of course, is in there. I think Virgil's going to be in there. Virgil's going to return, because I think that's who stole Yamato. That's the samurai sword he uses.
Mm.
Or his demon weapon. But I have just so much character development with these other characters. The new character Vito.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what he's about. I just want to know how they're just going to, like, tie it all together so they can bring maybe a Devil May Cry 6.
Okay.
I wouldn't be opposed to that at all.
Cause, no, cause I got to get back on it. I need to get back on and play those. Like I said, it's been a long time since I played one of those games. Grayson. Man, lost his mind.
He did. He's like, I'm caddy. We just throwing up everywhere. I'm doing everything.
Phenomenal.
So you want to go like through the timeline?
Yeah, if you want to run through it real quick.
Okay. Well, there is... Okay, before Devil May Cry 3, there is three mangas. So this is the first part of Devil May Cry, period. There's three mangas. There's Dante. There's Code 1 Dante, Code 2 Virgil, and then there's an unreleased Code Lady or Code Mary. But yeah, it basically... Because in the storyline, you don't understand how in 3 they meet up beforehand or like what's the history. But the history that they're speaking of, like, oh, so we meet again, it's been this many years, is because beforehand... Dante and Virgil knew about Sparta's power, but they were just finding it out. And they had, and Virgil had the intention of gaining his father's power in order to defeat Mundus years ago. And Dante was trying to stop him because for some reason, Dante was just trying to still figure everything all out. But he still was in his demon hunting business and did certain missions and stuff like that. Pretty much, it just explains like the story of Lady 2, how she came to be, like, how all the elements tie together to unleashing Sparta's power in 3. Okay. So you get that. Then it's Devil May Cry 3, which pretty much explains how Dante and Virgil are awakening their powers, their storyline, how the Sparta defeated Mundus and sealed the underworld with the tower of, I think, Tultumel or something like that, whatever. Just like a direct tunnel to the underworld, to the human world. Pretty much he was the guardian of humans, just explaining like just the power and stuff like that. Then it was Devil May Cry 1, where he was he lost his brother, well, so he thought, and then Trish was trying to get him to pretty much go and get lured into the island with Mundus, and Mundus was trying to defeat him and whatnot. Then it's the animated series. Then it's the anime. They just do a bunch of missions. Lady returns. Trish is still there. The person's father in Devil May Cry 4 or 5, the lady that designs Nero's arm, I forgot her. I don't know her name yet. I think it's like Lucille or something like that. I don't know.
Okay.
That's her father in there. The black dude. Yeah, just a bunch of crazy stuff happens, and then it leads up to Devil May Cry 4. And 4, then that's when you found out that Nero made a baby with somebody, and then he pretty much you trying to train him in the little devil Sparta ways and blah 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 blah. Then it's Devil May Cry 2, where it's getting all the way towards the end and stuff. Yo, Grayson is going to town right now, and
Grayson is tearing me up right now, y'all.
Yeah, Grayson is tearing shit down right now, y'all. He's receiving a triple S ranking in spit up.
Stylish.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. All right, very good.
Yeah, we just fuck it.
No, keep going.
Nah.
Grayson's.
Yeah, nah.
Yeah, dude, this is your time to shine, baby. Finish it up.
What was it? What was it, 2? Was I on 2? No, I was on 4. Oh, yeah.
4. Yeah, you're on 4,
then
yeah.
2. No, it was 4. Then it was then it was a novel. Then it was 2. And then actually what else? And then now it's this one, 4, 5.
Okay. See, you didn't want to finish that off, and
it was
that's crazy how they jump around like that though.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. So I would say you're pretty dedicated, right? You've read all the books and watched everything.
I've go through. The reason why I try to cut through short and like just try to cut through, because there's certain things that even if I explain to you, it's mad complicated.
Right. No, that's fine. Fine.
Like I could go through the whole entire storyline. But
just maybe a casual player, maybe like, oh, okay, maybe this will fill in the gaps for me.
If you're a casual player and you wanted to actually first get into DMC, get the HD collection and start with 3. Well, I don't know. It depends on how you want to do it, because 3 offers so many new mechanics and features that's why it's a curse, because it's just like, this is in the past. And
right.
It offers so many different
So much more than the present time games.
I'm like, I don't want to play this one. I want to play three.
Right.
I feel ya.
Hella stylish on three.
Super.
Very good. As we do with pretty much every franchise, every console we do, we want to talk about the impact of the franchise. And, I mean, Cat, if you want to start us off, you know, how important has the Devil May Cry franchise been to video game culture, to pop culture? You know, what's its influence been?
I think that it opened the way up to more characters being that anti-hero-esque,
yeah,
bad boy, stylish. Like, the whole entire gay movement, everything was an over-exaggeration, but it was too cool to the point where it was just like, you were just like, damn, I want to be this guy.
Yep.
I want to be the guy with the two guns and the one sword. I want to be the guy riding around on motorcycles shooting demons in the head.
Right.
It opened a lot of ways where, too, like, you can use your environment to defeat an enemy, you know? Mm. A lot of games, they did that in a sense, you know what I mean? Like, your Crash Bandicoots and stuff like that, but this was more in-depth, more in control, you know? Or, like, your Spyros, like, you would have to do certain, like, maybe you have to blow this diamond up to hit the boss, and it would weaken him somehow. You know, right, what I'm saying? Some certain things that you would have to do. This offered a way more stylish way where you can connect everything. You felt cool doing it, you know? Different weapons, just different, you know, other characters that were just cool as hell. Style, too.
For
just
sure.
Just like the way they were dressed.
It did bring a certain swag, uh-huh, to video,
sure,
game characters,
yeah,
that I think was very often imitated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
You knew where the white-haired, you know, red jacket, you know,
long
Dante,
leather jacket with, yeah, no shirt under,
exactly,
it.
Exactly. You knew where, savage, those kind of characters came from. Just all type of just cool characters.
Mm-hmm.
Japan was like mad good for that.
Right.
And one thing I really liked about it is just Dante's relevance, not just Dante, but Virgil as well, but their, yeah, relevance in pop culture.
True that.
Like, for me, especially, like, see, I played the Devil May Cry games before, like, when they were originally released, but the characters didn't mean as much to me until I got into them with Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
And that's what made me really, really want to be like, okay, let me revisit these games because I'm older now and I, like, got a better grasp of what they're about. So,
right,
like, that's what made me go and revisit Devil May Cry games and, like, play some of the ones that I hadn't played before I got to Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, Dante is that dude, bruh.
He is that dude.
And, like, when you see the animated series, like, I remember it was on Netflix for a time. I'm mad that they took it off. It was super dope on there, like, just the style, and you can tell that the video game was influenced and vice versa by both of those, because you could see elements of each in the other.
Right.
It also raised the maturity content as,
yeah,
well as, like, how you would go about things, you know? It disguised all that stuff really well. It offered a lot of horror mature content, but it disguised it in a really over-exaggerated, over-stylish, you know, comical yet way, just,
yeah,
just like the original,
it's like a satire almost,
just like the original Dante's Inferno. It was a comedy, but yet still it was designed to be a horror. It was designed to show you the ironic ways of you enjoying human pleasure,
right,
or indulgence.
Okay,
you know, so
Christian, is there anything you want to add as your view as an impact on pop culture, the Devil May Cry franchise?
Nah, man, I think that's really it. It's just,
okay,
And just that, like Caddy said, the stylizing of the games. Because, like, even if you look at God of War, the most recent one, in the way that they link all the movements together and all the actions, mm-hmm, like, I don't think games were doing it the way Devil May Cry was originally.
And that's really my point, too, as to its influence on video game culture, is that it is a trailblazer.
For sure.
Yeah. It changed the action-adventure genre. I definitely,
absolutely,
have to say, with a very versatile fighting system, the environments were really good. I mean,
and the music.
The music.
Oh, the,
yeah,
music.
Oh my goodness, the music. Crazy.
When Dante,
crazy OSTs.
That Dante went to that guitar solo after defeating the vampire electric demon witch or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Body
I was
bag.
Just like, yo, this is crazy. Or the fight, or like the cross music between, like, the fights between Virgil and Dante, where like, just the epic sword slashing. That moment too reminds me the first time where, or not, the one time where Cypher and Squall fought in the rain.
Yes.
And they both marked each other,
yep,
with the blades. that exact moment where it was in the rain too and everything. And they were just clashing with each other and just like that music came on. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, baby.
Oh, you know I know. You know I know.
That's that's a great way to tie them together right there.
That's a comparison I can definitely relate
for
to.
For sure.
It changed a lot of things. I can't remember too many action adventure games like it before.
But tons after.
Like I said, Deadpool, God of War.
Mm-hmm.
It made the weapons matter too. Like you never really got classifications or different type of elemental weapons or different type of backstories on certain weapons. But then it's just like, bam, we giving you all that right here.
Right. No, it was great. And Caddy, our last question that we'd like to do. Obviously, Devil May Cry 5 is coming out soon, but beyond that, what would you like to see from the future of the franchise?
The future? I would like for them to go into more of Sparta's story. Mm. How Sparta actually came to his power, when he decided that Mundus was doing too much or against the humans or just like... And then I wanted to open up a way where it reveals like how he did things with his mom or Dante and Virgil's mom.
Mm-hmm.
But then also maybe there were other demons that were on his side that was like maybe not almost as powerful, but just on his side that had other kids. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
interesting.
Yeah, maybe it can introduce like a whole universe. Like I know actually they're trying to tie in Castlevania universe.
That would fit in very well.
They would. That's why I'm just like, I feel like somehow if they actually introduce that, because even in the Castlevania, Dracula or whatever his original name
Alucard?
Was. Yeah. Well, no, Alucard is his kid.
Okay.
Yeah, and I forgot Dracula's Maurice or some shit like that. Whatever. Gas name. Anyway, no offense, gay people. But he got his powers from like the devil himself, you know.
That's crazy.
So it's just like you want to see how, and then Dracula ended up being the ruler of the underworld in a sense with his castle tied to that type of power.
I could truly see that crossover happening.
And then I kind of like seen it happen too, because in the later Castlevania games, when you actually are the descendant of Dracula being like reborn or redeemed. And he's a hero now, you know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. he started off as a hero before, but he absorbs the powers of the different demons or the different monsters, but to contain them. That's sort of what Dante does. He absorbs the different powers of the demons and stuff like that, or just uses their powers. I feel like that could work, or that could like correlate with each other.
Okay.
That sounds dope.
He might be like that type of demon, you know what I'm saying? A power absorber demon.
Gotcha. Christian, is there anything you want to say as far as the future of DMC?
Yo, just keep doing the different stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have anything negative anytime I'm talking about Devil May Cry as a franchise.
Yeah.
So it's just like, continue being consistent, because when you go from game to game to game, it's always consistently different, but always consistently solid in what you remember. Like mechanic wise and what they have to offer and always offering a dense game for mm-hmm. the most part. But if they keep continuing to do that and staying on the course that they're going, I'll play Devil May Cry 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however many you're ready to drop.
Yeah.
Because that franchise, I feel like they've only scratched the surface because they don't have as many titles as some others. But
no, they don't.
By it being so vast and so dense in the culture, it seems like it's way more.
Yeah, I can see what you mean by that.
Yeah.
I haven't played enough of the games to really say what I want to see from the future. But like, I have to agree with what both you guys said. Just being a trendsetter. And yes, I've never heard a negative thing about Devil May Cry video games.
Always consistent.
Always consistent, yeah. And always very good.
Only DMC, and that's because people are always going to be squiggly on their choices. You know, a little picky, a little choosy.
Yeah.
You're always apprehensive on different.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Okay. Very good, guys. I think that's the perfect note to end the show on. Right, Gray?
All right.
My man.
All right.
Caddy, dude. Good shit today. Good stuff.
Yeah, super good choice.
Very good choice.
I love Dante. I learned, especially love Virgil.
I want to go revisit these games now. I have my PS2 outside by the TV. And because of your thorough explanation and how good you did on this episode, I actually seriously want to revisit them.
Yeah, because like I said, I can go hours and hours about talking about like the real intricacies, like get you really capped. Like even that, like my interest in the story is because of Dante's Inferno.
Right.
You know, like things, I like that book, you know what I'm saying? The Iliad, you know, in a sense. I like the other video game, Dante's Inferno, where you had the God of War version one. Like, I like anything. I like the Yu-Gi-Oh cards with Burning Abyss, Dante's Inferno. I like all of that shit. Like, I'm like, yes, anything Dante's Inferno, I'm with it.
Awesome. Awesome. See, that's why we got you part of the team, my dude.
Thank you.
So, on that note.
Hopefully, you know, too, it was a fan favorite. You know, I wanted to. You know, we got to bring some good content. And I know you guys, with y'all next, you know,
a lot
picks.
Of good stuff coming up. Me personally, I get choice next week. We're going to cover Madden. It's something very near and dear to my heart. I know my boys are very excited about it.
Yo, you could teach me about that because I don't play too many sports games.
Okay. This would be a good time. I have a lot of experience with Madden games. And, I mean, we could very easily do a broad NFL video game one, but I just want to give Madden the focus. It is the one currently going right now. So, we're going to do a broad look at that. I know C-Ham's got a look in a couple weeks. And
The question mark. Yeah.
We'll give him time to announce it and decide, because I flip-flopped a bunch of times. That's for damn sure. So, we got a lot of cool stuff, everybody. If you like what you hear, share us. Tell your friends. Tell everybody about the Push Start Podcast. If you are not a part of our gaming community, GHU, find us on Facebook. Join us. For the most part, we are not a bunch of douchebags. For the most part, not a bunch of douchebags. That's pretty much that, guys. Just thank you for your support, as always. Grayson says goodbye. And on that note, everybody, on behalf of Christian, Caddy, and myself, this has been another awesome edition of the Push Start Podcast. Thank you, and we appreciate your patronage. Continue.